The dangers of pride.
Pride.
Bad stuff, right? Bad stuff. And I'll just review real quickly some of the things we talked about. One definition of pride is an excessively high opinion of oneself. Pride exalts itself above God and others. You know, like, oh man, look at me, you know, ain't I something, blah, blah, blah. Look what I got, look what I can do, look at blah, blah, you know. Boy, that's a bad place to go. Pride thinks more of its own ways, thoughts and abilities, than it does of God's ways, thoughts and abilities. And, you know, way back in the beginning, you know, the Bible tells us that Lucifer fell because of pride. So that's the example. I mean, that could have been the original sin of the universe, the pride with Satan. In Ezekiel 28:17, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. It says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor, so I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. So we find that he became proud in his heart, and God just threw him to the earth. You know, in Luke chapter 9 or 10, it says, Jesus said, he had sent the 70 out to minister, and you know, by two, when they came back, they were rejoicing and all this. And Jesus said, you know, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. Okay? So that means he had to been, you know, of course, Jesus is God also. And so that means he was there. He was there the day God threw him out of heaven. And he says, and I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions to overcome all the power of the enemy. So his pride and arrogance, he tried to exalt himself over the Most High God. God just threw him right out of heaven, you know. And you just wonder, how could a created being, even though he was so beautiful and all this, how could he think that he could overthrow the maker? Right? The creator, his creator, you know. But that's what, you see, that's what pride and arrogance does to a person. They make them, they get totally deceived, thinking they're so great and so wonderful and everything is about them, you know. And that causes them to be deceived, and that causes them to take the big fall, In Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 14:12, it says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Woo! I will also sit on the mount of congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, so he's, you know, I'm going to be God. I'm going to be like God. My throne is even going to be above God's throne, you know. Pride caused Lucifer to attempt to overthrow God's kingdom. This is mind-boggling that, you know, that someone would think that, even though, you know, he's a spiritual being, a powerful angel, and the most beautiful and everything, and they believe in charge of the music of heaven, you know, to think that he could do this. So he was cast out of heaven, he lost his position, and pride was the root problem, okay? The Bible says in, we'll look this one up, Proverbs 8:13, and we may have read this last week, but it's Proverbs 16, and this one is the one that has always stuck with me. I mean, there's a lot of teaching, a lot of scripture on pride, but this one's always just, if you just know this, you're going to avoid pride like the plague. 16:18 says, 16:18. And it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, okay? So that means, you know, people, when you get into pride and arrogance and all that, it's right after, you know, you're heading towards a big fall, towards destruction, okay? You've got some major problems coming because, you know, pride will deceive you, okay? You get into this thing about I'm so great and I know everything. Nobody can tell me anything. And everybody can say, look out, look out. You know, look out. This is getting ready to happen. Be careful about this. But you're so deceived into thinking that you know everything and you're so full of pride and arrogance, you don't listen. When the warning comes, you will not listen. Bang, boy, you get hit with the big one, you know. You get, you know, because of the pride and arrogance, you won't listen. The opposite of pride would be what? Humility, or to be humble. There's where you want to be. Because when you're humble, man, you're not exalting yourself. You're not hard-headed or stiff-necked. You're listening. You're open. You're willing to receive, right? And that's the key, to keep a humble heart. I was thinking of that scripture. I don't have it written down, but I think it's might be by 1 Peter 5:7. Let's see. Yeah, verse 6. We can turn there. 1 Peter 5:6. I read William back up. 1 Peter 5:5. I might have that written down there somewhere in my notes, but I'm thinking of it right now, so we'll turn there. 1 Peter 5:5. It's talking about young men and elders and so on and so forth. And teach your children to respect older people, okay? Amen? Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a whole different world than it was when I grew up. Man, if you smarted off to an adult, I don't care who the adult was, man, you got them. Smack! You was in big trouble, boy. Even if that, you know, if they, and they would go tell your parents, you'd probably get a pretty good licking, man, for it, because you said something to Uncle Fred or your neighbor, you disrespected an adult. As a child, to do that was a serious thing when I grew up. And so, teach your children to respect. You ever hear them disrespecting adults or elders? Correct them. Correct them. You'll be doing them a good service to do that, to correct them. You know, it talks about children, you know, disrespecting their parents and things like that. If you don't make them respect you at home, how are you going to make them expect them to respect other adults when you take them out or they go anywhere, right? Teach them to respect you as their parent, right? Mom and dad. The Bible has a lot to say about that. You can probably study it on your own, but it's a serious thing. And see, when it's kind of it's the beginning of them learning respect for God, reverence and respect for God. We're not God or anything, but you've got to get the principle established in them, okay? And it all leads to respecting and reverencing God, okay? And I mean, today, what I see blows my mind with the kids. They're not being trained up right in this area, but the whole world's, you know, against them. You know, you go to school or you go anywhere, or the kids, whatever, and what they're doing, you know, it's the last days. That's why it's like that. It's terrible. It talks about in the last days what it's going to be like, you know. But do everything you can within your power, gently and in love, to train your children up in the ways of God. Amen? And one of the best things you'll ever do is to train them and teach them to respect you as a parent. You know, they shouldn't just be right in your face screaming at you. You know, when I was a kid, you never even thought about that. It was a whole nother world. My mom would go out the back door. We had a big, big yard with trees. Snap! She'd snap a branch off the tree and come in there with a branch, man, and wail the living daylights out of me. Now today, you'd be in abuse. You'd get arrested. Well, I'm still here. I'm still here, you know? But you know what I'm saying? It was a serious matter. And, you know, you could save the child's life later on by teaching them respect. I mean, all the crime in these inner cities and stuff, they got no respect for anybody, any property, for the police or anything. You know, because I'm always hearing about these guys getting shot, you know, on TV in these places. Every single one of them just about is resisting the police. They're fighting with them. They've committed a crime. Somebody ought to stand up and say, look, all you got to do is when the officer says, put your hands up, put your hands up. When he says, stop, stop, you know, turn around, turn around. Nobody's going to get killed, right? It doesn't say, you know, try to beat the officer to death or pull a knife on him. It just, if you just obey the officer, you're going to come out of it smelling pretty good. You know what I mean? But when you resist, you're in trouble. Amen? But it's just that respect. You know, you got to, I mean, everybody knows the police have done things at times that weren't, you know, too happy about. I grew up, I had a few encounters with the cops, but if you do what they say, you're probably going to be all right. And, you know, it's not any, you know, we have to have respect for law, for the police and law and order. That's just, if we don't have respect for the police and, you know, the courts and the judges and everything, we're in big trouble. And we are in big trouble, you know, in this country. This is no doubt about it. But anyway, if you teach the children to be humble, respect authority, things like that, you'll just be doing them such a favor. Because the Bible says, train up your children in the ways of God, and they will not depart from it. And what I found is, you teach them up everything you can while they're young. Because when they hit the teens, look out, brother. Buckle up, right? But if you've taught them right, what's going to happen is, they'll go through, maybe they may or may not, but go through a period of rebellion, but they're going to come back to the Lord. Okay? When they finally get through that rebellious teen stuff. I mean, how many here was a rebellious teen? Yeah. I better put both hands up. But you understand, they will come back to the Lord because that seed was planted in them. Amen? So, but anyway, 16:18, pride goes before destruction. When you get into pride and thinking, boy, you're thinking, the Bible says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, right? So the idea is to be humble and give God the glory. Amen? Amen. Quit bragging about what you got and what you can do and everything else. Give the glory to God. Amen? Boasting and pride and that stuff is very evil. Some of the manifestations of pride is not seeking God in prayer and His Word. If we think we can go through life and do everything on our own without ever praying or reading your Bible or seeking God, that's pride. You can't do it. See, you might not think that's pride, but it is. We humble ourselves before God. I was going to read that scripture in 1 Peter 5:5. Yeah. Young men, in the same way, be submissive, okay, to those who are older. Okay, right? That's what I was getting done saying. Respect your elders. They might not be the nicest person in the world, but your obligation is to obey God and His teaching, right? Even if the person is a little iffy, a little shady, a little whatever, you know, you just respect them and treat them with respect, talk to them with respect. Just because the guy's pumping gas or picking up pop bottles doesn't mean that it's okay to disrespect them. Amen? Just treat everybody with respect. And especially a young person treating a older and adult, you know. It says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because here's the deal. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, do you really want God opposing you? Yeah. If God's opposing you, man, you're in deep trouble. I mean, God is the creator of the universe, the one with all power, knowledge, and or whatever. You don't want Him opposed to you, right? It flat out says He's opposed to you. But He gives grace to the humble. So if you're humble, God's on your side and He's giving you favor, right? Amen. Boy, that sounds like a better position to be in, doesn't it? And then verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So see, here's what happened. Instead of you lifting yourself up, right? You boasting, or look at me, and I'm jacking myself up, you know. It says, don't do that. Humble yourself before God. He'll promote you, right? He'll lift you up. It's good when God does it. Just don't do it to yourself, right? Because you're going to take a big fall. It's going to happen, right? And the higher you jack yourself up, the farther it is down to the ground, right? So the more you get puffed up and brag on yourself and what I can do and all this and what I got, the farther the fall is when it happens, right? Humble yourself before God. So on and so forth. Then another one is disobeying God's word in the Spirit. Disobeying God when you know you should be doing what the Bible says, because you know what the Bible says. You heard Brother Fick say so, and you do it, disobey anyway, right? And refusal to worship and give is another symptom of pride. Worship God. Amen? Amen? Don't be like that wooden Indian that used to be by the fireplace over in Silverton. You know, that always has not fire going. Wooden Indian, man, that thing was great big old wooden Indian. He's like this, standing next to the fireplace. And I said, boy, that Indian sure is cold. Look at that. He's got his arms like this, you know. But he never moved. His expression never changed, right? Because he's a wooden Indian. Well, we don't want to be like that when we worship God, right? Hey, we should have passion in us, a heart. We're thankful, right? We're thankful, grateful people that Jesus saved me, man. Boy, I'm grateful. I'm passionate about it. And tell your body to obey you, right? Because you know what? If you're saved, your spirit wants to worship God. It's in there, man. There's nothing. Your spirit wants to do more than worship God. Just it loves them. But guess what? Your flesh, it just wants to be an old stinker, doesn't it? Well, I'm not going to do that. No, you're in charge, right? Amen. You are in charge. So you tell your flesh to shut up and worship God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, so don't be like that wooden Indian now. I like to see a little bit of them lips moving. You know, sometimes I used to notice some people, their lips don't even move, you know. It's like, you know, come on, soften up, right? Soften your heart up, worship God. Amen? So, see, that can be pride. That can be issues of pride there, you know. Well, I'm not going to humble myself and do this stuff, you know, in front. There's people in here and all this. Hey, man, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the family. Worship God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, it's important. Another symptom of pride would be no repentance when there is sin. Okay, you've done wrong, you know you've done wrong, and you won't say, well, would you forgive me? You know what I mean? How hard is that? It can be hard for a lot of people. They just cannot get it out to apologize and say, I'm sorry. You know, they just, man, it's like trying to squeeze blood out of a rock. You know? But it should be the easiest thing in the world to do. Because it brings peace, you know. You humble yourself, just say, you know, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm so bad, I'm saying I'm sorry, you know, 100 times, 10 times a day, you know. You know, but just keep on doing, I'm sorry, forgive me, you know. You may have had too much coffee, got too wound up, or you might have done something, you know, I don't know. Just say you're sorry, right? Because that shows God your attitude. Amen? It says, you know, I'm blowing it all day long, but, you know, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You know what I mean? That means a lot to somebody if you've offended them, you know. And you don't want to get into that pride where you're not saying I'm sorry and asking people to forgive you. It should be an easy thing that you do quickly and easily. Amen? It should not be like trying to squeeze blood out of a rock. Another area of pride might be you're more concerned with opinions of others than with God's opinion, you know. Like you're more, you know, you got relatives coming over, you got this or that or whatever you're doing. You're more concerned about their feelings and what they think than you do God. In other words, you would probably violate your principles and go along with what they're saying. You're not standing up for your Christian ethics and principles, right? You're kind of violating, you know, or compromising Christian values because you're more concerned about what they think than what God's saying. And we've all probably been in those positions before when we've been around some old friends or this or that, and we're, you know, you're kind of hiding your Christianity and you're kind of going along with what they're doing and the language, you know, or whatever, what they're doing. Another one would be pursuit of pleasure, comfort, and convenience in the place of commitment and surrender to God's will. You know, that's easy to do in these days, you know. You're more interested in the pleasures of this world, the comforts of this world, and all the gadgets and technology and doing this and doing that than it is spending some time with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's real easy to do. There's so many things in this world that look so, you know, got so much glitter and they pull on you, you know. They want your time. They want your attention. Amen? And what happens is God gets excluded or pushed to the side as we pursue all these other worldly pleasures, okay? And you got to be careful because, you know, a lot of this stuff, it might be fun right now, but in the end, you know, it'll be to your detriment if you exclude God. God wants you to have the best. He wants you to prosper and everything like that, be in good health and prosper, but not pushing God aside and going after it, okay? God always must be the center and the priority. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll give you all the rest, okay? Amen. Seek the maker of things, and he'll give you the things, you know? There's no doubt about that. If you obey God and do what he says in his Bible, there's no way you can keep Satan and all the demons in hell can't keep you down. God is bigger, stronger than the devil and everything, right?
Amen.
If you truly obey him and your heart is right towards God, you have to prosper. He will do it. Amen? That's, you know, or else God's a liar, because it says so right in his own word. Amen? Temper tantrums? Anybody have temper tantrums? Huh? Yeah, you know. Boom! You know, everybody gets mad once in a while about things, but don't be having temper tantrums all the time. That's not good. That's not good. Scares the little kids. Scares mama. You know, from a man's perspective, and God don't like it. Okay, God don't like it. It's better to be soft, have big arms and big muscles, but be soft and gentle. Amen. That's what the ladies want. They want that big, strong guy to protect them. Amen? Keep them safe, but they don't want them running through the house, tearing up, breaking furniture, and screaming, right? So, but you know, I do believe God gave man big, strong muscles and all this to keep law and order in his house. Amen? So everybody's not running wild and things. And so he could protect the wife. Amen? Women are more interested in security and things like that, you know. If you ask what women really want, you know, they're really, security is one of the high things on the list. Okay, they want to be protected, amen?
Amen.
And so that's a high thing on the list for women, is that the husband, you know, take care of them and protect them, amen? They want to feel secure, you know, that big guy is going to rescue them or save them, right, when that bad guy comes. Another sign is rebellion. Unwillingness to submit to a spiritual, you know, family or secular authority. You know, the Bible says we need to be submitting to one another, okay? Submitting to one another. When somebody has a word from the Lord, or you know, what they're talking to you about is right, it's from the Lord, you know it. Go ahead and just submit to it, you know. Don't put them down and rebel against it, because the Lord may come to you through a lot of different ways and people, amen? Even the pastor, you know, when my wife says something or somebody else, and it is right and it's spiritual, I got to submit to it. Amen? Because it's like, what exactly are they saying? Don't look at them as a person or what position they got. It's the word that they're coming to you with, you know. What are they saying? You know, is it really something from the Lord that's right, and maybe you're getting off a little bit or something, and they have a word for you, they talk to you? Just submit to it. Amen? That's, you know, if you're full of pride, you'll never receive those little things like that that'll help you. You know, pride has been defined as inordinate or unreasonable self-esteem, okay? And sometimes people are treated kind of rudely because of pride and arrogance on a part of somebody. They look down on them and, you know, things like that, and don't treat them too good. In Ezekiel, it mentions about, let's turn to Ezekiel 16. We hardly ever go to Ezekiel. I forget how many thousands of times pride and things like that are talked about in the Bible in one form or another. Ezekiel chapter 16. But we should be, a very important thing in our life should be that, you know, this humility and humbleness. Amen. What did I say? 16:49? It says, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom, okay? She and her daughters were what? Anybody find that? Huh? She and her daughters were prideful. My Bible says arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. But it talks right there. Well, we know Sodom and Gomorrah is gone. It was just mortally turned into ash, right? I don't know. You know, they theorize what happened to it. It was like a nuclear explosion or something. It just, you know. But it says there, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were, the first thing it says was arrogant or prideful, right? You know, and Satan, the ambitious pride of Satan, now was part of the original sin of the universe. Since we're in Ezekiel, turn back to chapter 20, or turn up forward to 28, Ezekiel 28. And verse 17. I thought we did read this one already, but we'll read it again. Remember, as far as we know, this pride could have been, you know, the original sin of the universe. We don't know. But in verse 17, it says, Ezekiel 28:17, your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. Okay, so we know who that is, right? Satan was thrown out of heaven, man. God just booted him right out of there. I mean, Jesus said, I saw him come out of heavens like a bolt of lightning. Hit the earth, you know. And then in 1 Timothy 3:6, so you can see the consequences of this pride and arrogance. I mean, it got Satan. Look at the position he was in there, you know. He's thrown clean out of heaven. Now he's doomed, you know. God's got made special places just for him. 1 Timothy 3:6. And it says, these are talking about, have I got the right one? Okay, yeah. These are talking about overseers and deacons and qualifications. Okay. It says he must not be a recent convert. So, you know, you got a young man in your church, he just got saved last week, you don't make him a deacon the second day he comes to church, right? Just let him grow a little bit, mature and learn, and everybody kind of watch and see, does he qualify, you know, how does he, you know, conduct himself, and so on and so forth. He must be not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Right? You don't want to become, see, we were saying this, if you make the kid a deacon or something, you know, when he just started at the church, he just got saved, you know, pride or conceit, you know, being conceited could come in, and then he's in trouble. He could fall under the same judgment as the devil, right? So you don't want to do that, you know. So the Bible talks about that. But it could very well have been the first sin in God's universe, and no doubt will be one of the last, probably, to be defeated. The Bible teaches, I'll go through these fast. I can give you the scripture reference if you want. Some people like to take notes. People have gotten away from that, but I know when we were got saved and growing up, everybody in the church had a piece of paper and a pencil, and they all, you know, just wrote everything down. But the Bible teaches that pride deceives the heart. Okay? And we talked about that. When you get into pride and arrogance, that's the big reason why you take the fall, is because you get deceived. Okay? And you're not going to listen to anybody. I've seen churches go belly up because of this. The pastor got into pride and arrogance, you know? And the same thing is going to happen to him. It happened to anybody, you know? If you're the lowest man on the totem pole or the highest guy on the totem pole, it all works the same. See, it's like the law of gravity. God says pride goeth before destruction, and it's just going to happen, you know. So pride deceives the heart. That's Jeremiah 49. It hardens the mind. It hardens the mind. It deceives the heart and hardens your mind. That's Daniel 5:20. It brings contention. It says it compasses about like a chain, you know. Like, you know, would you like to walk around with a big, heavy old chain wrapped around you, you know? No, I don't think so. Wasn't that guy in that movie Scrooge? Wasn't there one of those guys that had a big chain wrapped around him, dragging him around everywhere? That'd be terrible. It brings men to destruction. Pride will bring men to destruction. We read about that. It says a proud heart stirs up strife. A proud heart will stir up strife and arguments and contentions. Okay, so if somebody's always doing that, well, that could be an issue there. Okay. You don't have to be right every time, right? Isn't it better to just have peace? It's better to have peace. I mean, you can debate about everything. You see a bug and somebody else sees a bug and your bug's bigger and it's faster, right? And you're going to argue about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people will just bicker about everything, man, right? Just let it go. You know what? It doesn't even matter, right? It doesn't matter. And it says that pride is an abomination unto the Lord, okay? A proud look God hates. You know, sometimes people got a look on their face that, you know, God doesn't like. It's the look of arrogance and pride. They're looking down at you that you're just a dirt ball, you know? You know, not good, right? It's better to be humble. You know, Jesus was like a servant. He washed feet and did, you know, just served the people. And in Jeremiah 50:32, it says, and those who engage therein shall stumble and fall. So it says it more than once. You will take a fall if you get into pride. It's a bad thing. And I can tell you, I've met people that were almost like homeless and dirt poor, and they had more arrogance in them and pride in them than some rich guy. I've seen it. It doesn't matter what your economic status is or anything else. But I've seen and talked to people that were just, I mean, you know, it was on them so bad that, you know, you might try to help them or something, and they were just right in your face, man, and they were, you know, letting you have it, and they were just full of pride and arrogance and stuff, even though they were practically living under a bridge and dirt poor and everything else, you know. So it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or anything. That spirit can get on you regardless of your social standing. It has nothing to do with it, you know. It's just like any of the other sins. And pride is the parent of, from pride comes things like discontent, ingratitude, presumption, passion, ingratitude. You know, if you really help somebody out, you're not doing it just so you can get the glory, but say the Lord moves on you and you help somebody in some way. It could be financially, it could be other things, you know, and they just kind of, they never even say thank you or, hey, I really appreciate it. That means a lot to me, you know. Ingratitude, you know, for all the things that God has given you or others have helped, you know, that God has sent across your path to help you. Ingratitude is not a good thing. You should be grateful for whatever the Lord brings your way, amen? And be willing to say, hey, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that, right? Just be humble, right? What would keep you from thanking someone or something for helping you or giving you something, right? Do you thank God for all that He's brought your way and helped you with, right? You know, once you start thanking God, you know, if you won't thank somebody that really helps you and does that, you know, you're probably not thanking God for all that He's done, right? Or grateful to Him. See, it all is connected kind of together. Reverence and respect for your parents, it translates into, you know, respect at school for the teachers, you know, respect for the policemen. I wouldn't dream of doing what I see on the news, what these people do to these police officers. It was yes, sir, no, sir, basically, right? Yes, sir, no, sir. Man, I wouldn't be in their face or thinking about fighting or grabbing for their gun or something, you know, or refusing to obey the police officer. I know, man, I would just be, I'm in deep trouble, man. If you do that, you're automatically, you've resisted arrest. You're in trouble. You don't do what an officer says, automatically, that's resisting a police officer, whatever they call it, disobeying a police officer. It's a crime, you know. You just do, just obey, amen? But see, if you're just growed up and you just were running wild, you respected nobody or anybody or even people's property or anything else, then it's not that big of a leap when you start disrespecting the police officer, right? You know, you're going to get right in his face and you're going to tell him this and that and blah, blah, blah. Now just, yes, sir, here's my license, here's my registration, here's my insurance, and, you know, whatever, and he'll give it back to you, and then you can go on your way, and that's the end of it. But start resisting that police officer and not obeying him. See, a little minor thing can end up just blowing up. I mean, somebody can get killed in the end over just a minor little thing because it just escalated. You did not obey the officer. You wouldn't get out of the car. I'm not getting out of that car. I can tell you this, that you're going to get out of that car. One way or the other, if he has to call in, 10 or 15 cops, you're going to come out of that car. Because their whole training is, you just use whatever force you have to until the person obeys you, So, you're going to come out of the car, one way or the other, right? So just better just to obey the police or humble yourself. Just say, yes, sir, oh, say, yes, sir, no, sir, and just obey the cop, right? And it's better just to obey the Lord and obey the Bible. You'll come out way ahead. There's all these promises and blessings for obeying God. Amen? Amen? There's no promises of blessings and all this stuff for disobeying God, is there? I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says, boy, if you disobey me, I'm just going to bless you right out of your socks. I never have read that, right? Have you? No, the blessings come for obedience, for obeying God. Amen? That's where the blessings come. That's how you're going to prosper, is obey God. Follow. He's given us the secrets, right? God has all knowledge and all wisdom, and he's put it in the book for us. If we'll just do it, we'll have success in this world and in eternal life in the next world. But nah, man, I know more than this Bible, I don't need this Bible. I got it all figured out. Yeah, the last words of the guy before he went down, in quicksand, right? No, God has the answers. We can think we're smarter than God and all this, and he just laughs. He just laughs. It says he laughs at the wisdom of man. It's foolishness to God, just foolishness. The wisest men in the world thought the world was flat at one time. Yeah, if you sail too far that way, you just drop off the end of the world. Boom. That's what they thought. See, all the wisdom and our best scientists and everything, who was that? The apple fell on his head. The law of gravity. Galileo? Or I don't know who that was. Huh? Sir Isaac Newton, there you go. Yeah, boy, what a discovery. He's considered a genius, Well, God, God made the law of gravity. He made the universe, It's like some guy, it's Isaac Newton. He's a genius now, right? Because the apple fell off his head, and he probably thought about it for a long time. He said, why didn't the apple go up instead of down, And he figured out there must be some law of gravity. Well, anything you throw up in the air is going to come back down, right? Something makes it come back down. And then we get into the area of boasting. Boasting. Bad stuff. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Doggone it, I get tired of the boasting. Let's see, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Okay. Now this is about boasting. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, okay? That I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight, okay? If we're going to boast, we boast in the Lord. If we boast, we say, look at what the Lord has done for me, amen? The Lord has provided for me. He made it possible that, I got something that I needed, he just brought it into my life, or it's, somebody gave it to me, or just came upon me, or I got it for half price or something. But God is the one that, that blesses us and causes things to come to us. Amen? It's not I am so smart, you know, and I am so wise, and I'm so rich, and I got all this, and that's why I'm where I'm at. No, it's God. You know, it's like the world, you know. They think they're going to solve the problems of the world. Now, you know, talked about global warming, you know, and there's a lot of people say, yeah, well, there's global warming. A lot of people say there isn't. I don't know. But that's not, the reason the world's going down is not because of global warming. It's going down because of sin and rebellion against God. Okay? And this country's in deep trouble because it's like the reason we became such a great, powerful nation is because God's hand was on us, blessing us, protecting us. Okay? As we sought God and, you know, and things like that. Now when we start banning God, banning the knowledge of God from the land, you know, and all that they're doing, it's almost like a war on God and religion in this country. It's unbelievable. Well, God's now is kind of withdrawing his hand over the country, the protection and blessing. That's why all this stuff is happening. Or else God's hand is still here and we're moving out from under it. But it's one or the other, you know. God is, because of wickedness and evil in the land, that God is, you know, withdrawing his hand of protection and blessing upon the nation. It's not global warming that's going to save us. The saving us will be if we humble ourselves and repent, right? What's that scripture? Where is that at? If my people are called by my name, right? Is that in Chronicles? Second Chronicles? This is the answer. Let's look at that real quick. Where the heck is that at? This is a scripture that we should look up and read. What did you say? I should have it written down here. There you go. Let's see. Oh, yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you read... this is, the Lord appears to Solomon. In verse 11, in 2 Chronicles 7:11, it says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, so the Lord appeared to Solomon and he says, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, okay, we're talking drought here, or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, okay? So judgments of some type are taking place, right? The people have done some bad stuff. Verse 14 now, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, what, from their wicked ways, right? So you humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and turn. You got to repent, right? Turn from your wickedness. Doesn't that mean repent? Huh? It means repent in my book. That means you stop doing it. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and what? I will heal the land. Okay? Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple to, so that my name may be there forever. You know, when you're in sin and rebelling and you won't obey anything, I don't think God's even hearing your prayers, to tell you the truth, unless it's a prayer of repentance, a prayer of repentance. Okay? If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves, okay, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them, right? But if you're just going on in your wicked ways and you're not seeking God or you're not doing anything, humbly, he's not even listening to you. Okay? You're just fooling yourself, man. You're praying and ask God to bless me, do this, do that for me, but you are continuing in the same sin that he told you not to, that you needed to stop doing. You're not going to get blessed. He isn't going to hear your prayer unless it's saying, God, forgive me. I humble myself before you. I'm going to stop doing that, right? And you repent. And you stop doing your evil ways. So that's what's going to save the United States of America if that was to happen. Okay? There's a good example of it in the Bible. You know, the city of Nineveh. You know, Jonah and the whale. Yeah, he sent Jonah to Nineveh to tell those people they had so many days left and God's going to wipe you folks out. Bad, right? And Jonah didn't want to do it. Man, he was running every which way trying to get away from doing that. But, you know, he ended up in the belly of a fish. You know, not good, right? I don't know, somewhere it says he was like bleached white when that fish barfed him out, you know? Probably stomach acid bleached him white, I don't know. But he goes to Nineveh and he tells them, man, he says, this is what the Lord says. And doggone, that king, he heard that, boy, he took heed to that. And he told everybody, by golly, you folks, you stop everything, right? Put on your sackcloth and throw ashes on your head and get down on your face. Right? What did God do, man? He changed his mind because the people did it pretty much what it says right here. You know? They humbled themselves before God and they prayed and seek and asked God for mercy and all that stuff. And God, you know, old Jonah got mad about that. Yeah, I knew you was going to do that. That's why I didn't want to go there in the first place. Right? You know, that's an ego or something. I don't know what you call that. Right? Here you go, you know. I'm going to look a little foolish, right? Because God's not going to destroy the place and you're going to have mercy on them. Well, he did because they got down and they repented, you know. So, and they humbled themselves before God. That's the way the country's going to be saved. But I don't see anybody leading us that way. They're trying to ban the knowledge of God. But maybe it just hasn't got bad enough yet, huh? Maybe some people will change their minds. It can get a whole lot worse. I was telling Claudia, I said, man, God forbid that something would happen right now with this weather like it is now. Like the big earthquake or the big this and people's houses are falling down and there you are where you're trying to survive in this freezing rain. You know, because there's one scripture in the Bible that tells some people in Jerusalem and Israel, you know, pray that this doesn't happen at nighttime or in the winter, I think it was, you know, or women are pregnant and so on and so forth, because you got to run for your life. It says literally drop everything you're doing and run for your life, man. But you better pray it's not in the wintertime and whatever. Right? You better pray, God, don't let it happen now. You know, in the middle of the rainy, freezing, nasty weather like this, amen? We pray over a house. I don't care if every else thing falls down around me. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my house and my yard. Amen? Because, I don't know, unless you're living under a rock somewhere, buddy, you got to see what's coming down the road. The storm clouds are gathering. So repent, humble yourself, be ready before God. Amen? Amen. That's what's important. Claudia, did you have something? You know, Paul, in one of the commentaries said, Paul asked the rhetorical questions so they could see the silliness of their prideful positions against one another. You know, somebody saying, "This, I follow this one, or I follow that one, or this one's greater, or I'm greater," you know. Everybody's quarreling, and who's the greatest, you know. Paul said, no one was better than anyone else. Okay, this is in the commentary. Everything they had, everything they accomplished, every gift they had received, all came from God, right? If we just be humble and acknowledge that God is the giver of all things, right? He's the good God, amen? Every good gift and everything all comes from God. Humble ourselves. Therefore, Paul wrote, if all you have is from God, right? How can anyone possibly boast about being better than anyone else? If everything that you have, what we have, is comes from God, how can we boast that we're better than someone else? See, it's that thing in you, that pride, that arrogance, that wants to you know, you see it all the time. They're trying to be, you know, I'm better than this guy, or I'm better than that guy, or, you know, I got more, you know. It's that pride, that arrogance trying to poke its ugly head up. Well, every time it does, just slap it down, right? It says, as if they had accomplished something on their own. The obvious answer is that no one has any right to boast about anything, right? Just give the glory to God, amen? I mean, if you're a scientist or educated and you come up with something that really helps people, just give God the glory, right? That you were, he enabled you to be educated enough or be smart enough that he used you to do this, amen? Just, you know, it's every time pride comes up or where you want to boast about yourself or what you got, don't just kind of, you know, try to put it down, you know, take authority over, because you don't want to do that. You just want to go, you know, it'd be easy to boast and say, yeah, man, I did this and I did that. It's better to just say, you know, God just showed me, you know, or he helped me, right? Give the glory to God, right? And not go, look at how much I got, or look at what I did, or everything is better and bigger than everybody else. Don't go there. That's boasting. That's evil in the eyes of God. You know, for man to boast in himself is to claim that the praise and glory that belongs to God, okay, it belongs to, you know, he's trying to get the praise and the glory for himself that really belongs to God. See? And it's arrogance, okay? That's James 4:16 says that. In Romans 1:30, we're just about getting done here. Romans 1:30. Romans 1:30. This Romans chapter 1 is a pretty heavy little chapter. You need to read it, but it talks about some of like the whole gay, homosexual things that's going on in the world. But anyway, in verse 28 it says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. Okay, so that's what will happen to people that just have contempt for God. It ends up with a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, and arrogant. There's that word arrogant, okay? It's right in there with the rest of some really bad stuff, isn't it? And boastful, arrogant and boastful. Arrogant and boastful. It kind of goes together, doesn't it? Bad stuff. I mean, look at all the stuff it's grouped in there with. So don't think that pride and boasting is a little deal. It's right in there with the biggies, right? They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. We talked about that. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So, you know, one thing leads to another, right? If you get to, you know, one level, you know, it won't be long. You'll be going, dropping down into the next level. So on and so forth. Paul says, let him who boasts in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if you don't learn anything else for today, is if you're going to boast in the Lord. That's the only safe place to be, right? Because anytime you start boasting in yourself, you're getting on shaky ground. If you're going to boast in the Lord. You know, oh, you have a beautiful home, sir. Well, the Lord blessed me with it. Amen? Not, you know, I was so smart, I swindled this guy, and I cheated this guy, and I, you know, played the pyramid schemes and this and that, and I bought the house because I was so smart and got all, you know, blah, blah. No. The Lord blessed me with the house, right? That's all you got to say. God's solution to arrogance and boasting is humility. That's the answer, right? You know, and some people have a problem with pride and boasting. They will not receive godly counsel from their pastor or more mature Christians or take heed to the written word of God. They already know everything. I remember this guy I worked with. I don't care what I told him. He says, oh, yeah, I already know that. It was his pat answer to everything I ever said. I already know that. You know, and by that used to get to me. You know, I don't care what it was. I already know that. If I was in the office and a boss told me something that nobody else knew, I'd walk out and I'd go over to, his name was Vern. Vern. Hey, Vern, you know what boss, oh yeah, I already knew that. You know, you know what I mean? It was always like that. Everything, you know? And it was kind of fun. Anyway, and so that's what pride does to you. You already know everything. You get deceived you're determined to do what you want regardless, because pride blinds your mind and deceives you. They can't tell me anything. I already know everything. I'm smarter than them anyway. Probably better looking and whatever, right? I'm just, you know, I'm just on top of the world. They can't tell me anything. Lo, boy, just get away from that, like get away from leprosy, right? No, humble yourself, open up a little bit. I'm not perfect, you know. I can learn, you know. Other people know things that maybe I don't know. And if pride will keep me from receiving anything from somebody, because, well, I'm better than them. I know more than them, blah, blah, blah. Hey, sometimes if you just humble yourself a little bit, you know, you'll learn something. Amen? The Bible says God opposes the proud, so it's not surprising that these people have problems and cannot get victory in their lives. After all, the scriptures say in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. If a person will get off their high horse and humble themselves, they will receive God's grace in their lives.
Amen.
Amen. In conclusion, submission to God and to those he has set over you is the beginning point. This only comes with genuine repentance. Humble yourself and he will lift you up. Remember that. When you humble yourself, you're not going to end up being a doormat for everybody, because God is going to lift you up, okay?
Amen.
Instead of you promoting yourself and lifting yourself up by obeying God and being humble, God will lift you up, and nobody's going to knock you off that horse, okay? Because when God lifts you up, man, there's steel pillars underneath you, right? But if you lift yourself up, it's a very fragile thing, and you're going to take a fall, because that's what the Bible says. Let God promote you. You don't have to go around saying this and that. If it's true and you've humbled yourself, other people will start saying that about you. You know what I mean? That person's pretty wise. They always give good wisdom, you know, have a good word, and, you know, instead of, man, I'm a prophet, you know, thus saith the Lord. No. If you are, you know, let God promote you and lift you up, other people will notice that, you know, certain things about you, and they'll start saying things about you. You don't have to say it about yourself to try to promote yourself. They'll say, hey, you know, that's a good sister, right? That's a good brother. Praise God for them, you know. 1 Peter 5:5-11 says that people who are full of pride, you know that scripture about Satan goes around like a roaring lion whom he is seeking to devour? Man, when you get into pride, you're just like a big old pork chop hanging off the limb. You understand what I'm saying? Satan sees that. Because once you get into pride, he knows. That's sin, man. That's bad. And you're just, he's going around seeking whom he can devour. You ever see that commercial on TV where that guy had all those stakes on him? They tied stakes all over his back and they had him run through like a lion's, like some kind of a game farm or something full of lions, and they were all wolves and stuff were chasing him. Can you imagine that? Would you walk through the jungle with stakes tied onto you, and down there in Africa, you know, with all those lions and leopards and stuff? Well, that's just the way you are for Satan. If you get into this stuff, man, you just got a big sign on you. Come on, roaring lion, I'm here. I'm a big snack. You can have me. Right? You're just setting yourself up, boy, for that roaring lion. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for a good snack, something to devour. And because you're into pride, you're deceived. You already know everything. People warn you. Don't do that, man. Stop doing that. That's not right, you know. And you, you're dumb, you don't know nothing, right? And here comes the big lion, he just gobbles you right up. And you can't figure out where you went wrong, right? Well, if you would have humbled yourself and listened to your sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, he was trying to help you to not to be that big snack for the devil, right? But you wouldn't listen because, you know, they're not as smart as you and you already know everything. Humble yourself. See, because sometimes God will send somebody your way, to give you some good advice. And man, you need to listen. I've been there before. I've had people come and say, you know, I advise you not to. And I ignored them. Boy, did I pay the price. Woo! Out there in Murder's Creek. It doesn't sound good anyway. I don't know what I was doing there. Murder's Creek. Boy, I didn't listen. And I prayed and asked God to tell me what to do. And he sent somebody right to me, man, and told me not to do it. But, you know, sometimes you're just dumb. That opened my eyes. I don't know. What do you think? God's going to send an angel that's going to write in the sky, has a big finger that's just going to magically write things in the sky for you to tell you what to do? No, he's not going to do that. He'll tell you inside, or he might send somebody to you with a word. Amen? Just a little bitty simple word. It might be some timid little grandma that comes up, you know? It says something that it's the answer to what you need to know.
Amen.
Amen. Peter reveals that Satan is looking for an open door of pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As we are alert to humble ourselves and resist the devil, humble yourself before God. How do you humble yourself before God? You obey his word. That's how you humble yourself. That's what he's really after, is for us to obey the Bible, obey Jesus, obey the teachings of the Bible, right? That's how you humble yourself before God. You obey, you do what he says. What is the main thing? You know, I started this message last Sunday with this question. What is the main thing that stands in the way of you being blessed? Could it be pride? Okay. We must learn to humble ourselves and repent, seek God and his word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. You know, some of these things, the Lord just puts it on my heart. These are kind of things that you got to know, because if you don't know these things, you'll fall into these traps. So there, a lot of my messages are not the shout and glory, hallelujah, running up the side of the wall messages, right? Hopefully we can have some of those, but the Lord wants to warn us. And if he tells me, I'm in trouble if I don't do it, you know? He showed me something about that, you know, a couple Sundays ago. I talked about the Sabbath. Remember that, the Sabbath I talked about? The Lord showed me that. And he told me, you know, I'm on the line, man. If you don't tell, you know, I'm going to be in trouble with the Lord if I didn't do that message. But, you know, if you read the Ten Commandments, we got it right out there on the wall. That is the fourth commandment. To remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. If you read all that 10th commandments, every one of those commandments is in effect today. They've never been done away with. Every single one of them is a very serious command of God. Remember, do not steal, do not lie, you know, have no other gods before me and all that. Every one of them. So why would you think the Sabbath is not an important commandment that's in there with the rest of the 10, right? The other 9? You know, that is a commandment for God. And he, you know, most people don't even think like that. Okay? Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Right? But I know, I didn't realize that. I knew it was in the Ten Commandments. But then the Lord began to show me all of those Ten Commandments are really serious and important. And that is one of them. So that we need to know that. Once I tell the message, it's off my back. I'm in the clear. You understand what I'm saying? Because if I don't do what God says, I could be in trouble, right? So once I tell you, you guys are adults, you do whatever you want, but I've done my part, right? And I, you know, I understand people are going to miss Sundays, people are going to be sick or whatever, vacations, it happens, but it should be a serious thing with each person to realize God expects me. It's one of the commandments, and he expects me to keep the Sabbath holy and reserve that day for rest and for worshiping God. Amen? And it is a serious thing. We should not take the commands of the Lord lightly. Amen? All right. Praise God. Does anybody need prayer today? Yes, you do?
No, I don't need
you. You get out a good report?
Yeah.
That's, I'm even happier.
Well, the last few months, it's been like up and down roller coaster trying to find out.